I'm in awe of God and I marvel. Those are the only words I could think of right now when I think of God and think of what he does. On yesterday, the deaconess had such a wonderful celebration as they had their serenity tea. And one of the things that they highlighted was unity. And today, my sermon is not exactly unity, but it falls right into where God is speaking today. And it's like confirmation. I wasn't sure where this was coming from, but God always shows up to let you know that you're listening and you're hearing what he says. There is a word from the Lord today, and it comes from the book of Ecclesiastes. It's chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. When you have it, please say amen. I'm going to be reading from the New International Translation, and it reads as thus. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk. Lord, we pray and ask that you would use us, God, and that you will allow your word to fall on fertile ground, O God. Lord, hide us behind the cross and strengthen us to do thy will. Lord, as my pastor is standing today to deliver a word in another house, O God, in Texas, I ask that you be with him too. Strengthen him, God, that he might preach. Give me strength, O God, that I might preach. In Jesus' name, amen. If I was to tag our sermon today with a title, it would be A Real Friend. In these days and times, we don't give much thought to the importance of friendship and how being a true friend can mean the difference between life and death. Many times we take our friendships for granted and do not nurture and protect them. We treat them as though they're a dime a dozen. A real friend is a valuable commodity. Just like true love does not easily come by, nor does true friendship come by very easily. In my life, in our lifetimes, many of us will not be able to say that we've had more than one or two real friends. Yes, we've had acquaintances and people we've told things, you know, shared things with, but they're not real friends. You see, real friends don't leave you when the rubber hits the road. They're there with you through tough times. When your hope is fading and you need someone to just sit with you and help you to see the cup half full rather than half empty, that's a true gift from God. Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, 12 through 15, he says, "My commandment is this. Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays his life down for his friend. You are my friend if you do what I command. No longer call you servant, because a servant doesn't know what the master knows his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you." A real friend. I read a story about Jackie Robinson, and who was the first African-American to play in the major leagues. While breaking the baseball color barrier, he faced jeerings from the crowds in every stadium that he went to. While playing one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he committed an error. His own fans began to ridicule him. He stood at second base, humiliated, while the fans made noise and jeered him. Then the shortstop Pee-wee Reese came over and stood next to him. He put his arms around Jackie Robinson and faced the crowd. The fans grew quiet. Robinson later said that arm around his shoulder saved his career, a real friend. Now you may say to yourself, I wish I had a friend like that. Oh, I'm glad I have a friend like that. But I want to challenge you today to be able to say, I want to be a friend like that. There are many people who cannot say, I really have a BFF, you know, best friend for life. But for many reasons. Some of the reasons are that they don't believe that they can trust anyone enough to be their BFF. They don't believe that someone would go out of their way to do something to help them, or that someone would care enough to be a real friend to them. The Word of God says in Proverbs 18 and 24, friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by like family. I read this story, and this is going to break the ice a little bit, about four Christian men who decided they would start an accountability group. They knew they needed friendship, and they needed to be accountable to one another. In their first meeting, they said, let's share some of our weaknesses. The Bible says that we should confess our faults one to another. One man says, I have to be honest. I've been embezzling money from my company. After a long pause, another one says, I'm ashamed to admit, but I have not always been faithful to my wife. A third one says, while we're dumping the facts, I have a secret drinking problem for years. Then the fourth man stood up and he said, gentlemen, I have battled a problem all my life. My problem is gossip. And I can't wait to get out of this meeting. Can you say, I'm a real friend? The scripture we have heard in our reading is attributed to King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. The Lord gifted him with insight and wisdom about life and what life means and how we should live our lives with each other and before God. King Solomon took this opportunity to speak to why it is good to have a friend or friends in our lives. Our culture has pretty much convinced us that we don't really need a close friend. Our lives have become so busy that we don't have time to get. All we can do is get together every now and then. But we're not willing to be inconvenienced for a real friendship. That ninth verse says, two are better than one because you have a good return for your work. The first attribute of a real friend, you're willing to help your friends succeed. This scripture is saying, be supportive, be encouraging, be a prayer warrior for your friend. We are to help our friends and be there for them and help them to succeed. That's a new way of thinking. Because we don't always think about other people's success. We're so busy caught up in our own success that we don't think that we should be there for someone else so that they might succeed. If they succeed, oh, that's fine. I'm going to be there with them and celebrate the success. But a friend is more than someone who comes at the end and celebrate after the victory. A friend is someone who comes along for the journey. This kind of thinking is kingdom thinking. Jesus taught us that the kingdom of heaven promotes service for others as the highest privilege, while earthly kingdoms seek service from others as evidence of the highest honor. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. When we think of friends as only a time for good times, when we laugh and we joke and we have just a good old time partying. But the Bible tells us that we ought to be there for each other during tough times. When we show ourselves friendly and worthy of friendship, we will have real friends. You see, a friend will be there and help you to succeed. A friend will rejoice with you in victory. You see, a friend will encourage you, and a friend will be a shoulder to cry on when we're going through tough times. When we are really a friend, we will pray to God and ask God not just to bless our family and our children, but we'll pray for our friends' children and family as well. When we are really being a friend, we will pray and ask God to make a way for our friend, to help them pay their bills, that they might be in good health, and for the peace and joy that comes through Christ Jesus. In that ninth verse, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. In other words, we need each other. We need friendship, and we need to seek friendship. The second attribute of a real friend is to be supportive. King Solomon says in that 10th verse, if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Back in the 70s, the Jackson 5 had a hit song about friendship called I'll Be There. A few lines of that song is, I'll reach out my hand to you. I have faith in all you do. Just call my name and I'll be there. Mariah Carey did a remake of that same song in the 90s. Now, I know there's some young people here, and you weren't even born then. But I'm sure you can sing this theme song from the Toy Story. It says, you've got a friend in me, which goes something like this. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice bed, just remember what your old pal said. You got a friend in me. You see, King Solomon was trying to convey to us that real friends will help pick you up when you fall down. But it's a sad day when we fall down and there's no one to help us to get up. Each and every one of us will have some times in our lives when we will need someone to come and help us to get up. Having a real friend who's dependable is worth more than gold. Being a friend makes you a follower of Christ. Christ says to his friends, I call you friend, not servant. A servant doesn't know what's going on with his master, but a real friend, you don't hold a secret from a real friend. When my family moved from South Carolina to the Bronx, New York, my sisters and I had to learn a way and culture of the North. People say children are the same everywhere, and that may be true to an extent. But ways of doing things can be different. We had to learn that you couldn't be best friends with everybody. You had to let it be known who your friends were. If you were playing with someone today, and that person got mad with you, all the other kids that person was friends with would be mad with you too. And if you were playing with a person who was oust, guess what? You are now oust and out of the friendship circle. You see, friendship is not based on who likes you. Friendship is based on commitment. You might be wondering, why is she talking to us grown people about friendship? Because God says it's important. You see, friendship is important. They are there for support. They are there for our well-being and our strength. Friendship are teaching tools for our children, lessons to be learned about life. Children learn by example. And when you see us deserting one another, when they see us trashing one another and walking out on one another, it speaks volumes to them. It says to them, you don't have to be dependable. A friend is not worthy of your time, and friendship has no value. Are you a real friend today? That third virtue of real friendship is found in that 11th verse. Also, it says, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Reading this verse, I wasn't quite understanding what was so important about lying down with a friend to keep them warm. But as I did my research and looked at the context of when this verse was written, I got a better understanding. In biblical times, when people were traveling, especially in the desert, it could become very cold at night. Oftentimes, friends traveled together and would huddle together and share a blanket to keep warm from the cold winter nights. The word says if two lie down together, they will keep warm. A real friend is someone who will be willing to huddle with you in the cold, cruel world we live in and help you to stay warm. We can learn a lesson or two about the cold, bitter winters that we have and the weather of our life. Someone who will stand with you and huddle with you when the bitterness of brokenness comes into our lives. You need someone to stand and huddle with you when disappointment, when loss and loneliness come into our lives. Years ago, I read a book called Don't Die in Winter, Your Season is Coming by Bishop Millicent Thompson Hunter. In this book, she talked about trouble and how it comes into our lives and sometimes makes us want to throw in the towel. It can appear as if winter in our lives will never be over. But when we hold on to God's unchanging hands, we know that the season of bitter cold trouble, we know that the harsh winds of disappointment and the days of frozen dreams and hopes, that they won't last forever. You see, spring and summer, they're on the way. You see, a real friend won't leave you out in the cold all by yourself. They'll huddle with you and remind you it's not going to be winter always. You see, spring and summer is coming. Don't you die in winter because your season is coming. When you're weak, a real friend will be strong. When you huddle with you, they'll have your back when the stormy blast of life passes over your life. You see, a real friend will hold you up. A real friend will pray for you. A real friend will encourage you. You see, a real friend will be there when everybody else is gone. We need to strive to be real friends. We need to stop all this playing and acting like we're friends when we're really not. We need to learn what the Lord says about a friend. These are not words that were just penned in the Bible so we could peruse through them. These are words that God wants us to get a hold of. That you ought to pray for your friend for their success. Hallelujah. That you ought to be there to help them and pick them up when they're falling down. And you ought to be there for them when they're going through some stuff. The analogy is that it's winter, that it's cold outside. It looks like nothing is moving and your life is in trouble. But when you got a friend who can see the glass half full when you're looking at it half empty, that's what a real friend will do for you. That fourth and final virtue of a real friend is found in that 12th verse. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. A real friend will fight with you and protect you. They'll protect your reputation. They'll protect you from the gossip that's swirling all around you. They'll protect you when people who don't even know your business but got so much to say about your business. When you're overpowered by the world, a friend will stand with you and defend your name when others are trying to tear you down. In biblical days, it was a military strategy, a way of fighting. Almost always, they fought hand-to-hand combat. So soldiers went into battle with a partner, someone that they could trust and count on. The soldiers stood back-to-back, as they always kept their back in contact and fought the enemy from whichever side the enemy would come. Stand with me. They would stand back to back with one another, and they would hold their swords and their shield. And if the enemy came this way, they would be there. And if the enemy came that way, they would be there. That's a true friend. It doesn't matter which way the enemy comes. Somebody's got it covered. If I don't have it, he's got it. If the enemy comes from the left, he's holding it down. If the enemy comes from the right, I'm holding it down. That's what God is saying. Stand back to back with somebody. Be willing to stand up and fight for your friend. A friend will protect your back, not stab you in it. A friend will never put up with gossip and lies about you. You see, a friend will protect you when others are trying to kill your spirit, kill your good name, and destroy your reputation. The question we must ask ourselves today, are you a real friend? When others turn their back on you, do you stand up with your friend, turn their back on your friend? Do you stand up with them? Or do you get around whispering and gossiping right along with everybody else? When your friend is in trouble, are you there with strength and encouragement for friends and sisters, brothers who follow in the footsteps of Christ? Jesus said as he was preparing his disciples, as I have read earlier, he gave them an 11th commandment. It says, love each other as I have loved you. You see, Jesus could say this and really mean it because he was God in flesh. And because he was God in flesh, he had already died on the cross. I want you to get this. You see, God sees in the past, the present, and the future. Jesus had already seen himself die on the cross for you and me. Jesus had already seen himself buried in a borrowed tomb. He had already seen himself rise from the dead after 3 days. So he could say with total conviction, love each other as I have loved you. You'll get it. Jesus already saw himself die for us when he was speaking to his disciples. He wasn't talking about what he might do. He was talking about what he knew he had already done. You see, the spirit is ahead of the manifestation. What you see now is clear in your eyes. But you see, God already sees tomorrow. And so we're here now looking at what exists right now. But if God speaks something into you, it's already done. I want somebody to get that. If God spoke it, you know it's going to come to truth, to pass, because he's already done it. Some of us are waiting for God to do what God has already done. He said, I have already blessed you. You're looking for the blessing and it's already here. When you grab a hold of it, you will have it. Somebody hear this, please. I want you. Jesus is saying this and really meaning it. Because you see, he's God. Even though he's in flesh, he's God. He knows what your tomorrows will be. It'll hit you later. Are you a real friend? Are you loving each other as Christ has loved us? So much that he gave up his life for us. He gave up his life that we might be restored to a right relationship with the Father. He gave up his life that we might be with him in eternity. Are you a real friend today? I couldn't close without mentioning that part B of that 12th verse that says, a cord of 3 strands is not quickly broken. The scripture verse is most often used in marriage ceremonies. The minister uses this verse as an illustration for couples to remember that when God is a part of your marriage, it is not easily broken. I would like to look at it from another context. Since we are talking about real friends today, a cord of 3 strands represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what kind of relationship you're in, whether it's marriage, best friends for life, sister and sister, brother and brother. When the Trinity is a part of the equation, it can't go wrong. The Father loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not die but have eternal life. The Son gave up his home in glory and came and lived among sinners and died to save a wretch like you and me. He died and paid it all. He went home to the Father. He now sits at the right hand of the Father, praying and interceding for you and me. He loved us so much that he did not leave us comfortless. He sent us a friend. The Holy Spirit came walking in. He came walking in to talk with us and walk with us and help us along the way. When we think about what a real friend looked like,
Remember the three cords and live by that example. We have a Father who gave it all. We had a Savior who died for us all. We have a Holy Spirit who will be with us all. Are you a real friend today? Will you stick closer than a brother? Are you a fair weather friend that books when the raid gets tough? As I'm really ready to close now, I want to share a story I read as I was reading one of Chuck Swindoll's books. He's a great teacher and a preacher. He said an old Marine corporal buddy of his, to his pleasant surprise, came to know Christ after he was discharged. I was surprised, he said, because he cursed loudly. He fought hard. He chased women, drank heavy, loved war and weapons, and hated chapel service. A number of months ago, he said, I ran into this fella. And after we had been talking for a while, he put his hands on my shoulders and said, you know, Chuck, the only thing I still miss is that old fellowship I used to have with all the guys down at the tavern. I remembered how we used to sit around and let our hair down. I can't find anyone like that among the Christians. I no longer have a place to admit my faults and talk about my battles, where everyone won't preach to me and frown and quote verses to me, he went on to say. It wasn't 1 month later that in my reading, he said, I came across this profound paragraph. It says, the neighborhood bar is probably the best counterfeit there is to the fellowship of Christians, those who go to church. He all went on to say that it's an imitation dispensing liquor for grace. Escape rather than reality. But it is permissive, accepting, and inclusive fellowship. It is unshakable, but it's democratic. You can tell people secrets, and they usually don't tell anybody else, or they even want to. The bar flourished not because people are alcoholics, but because God has put in the human heart the desire to know and to be known, to love and to be loved. And many may seek a counterfeit at the price of a few bears. With my heart, I believe that Christ wants his church to be unshakable. A fellowship where people can come in and say, I'm sunk, I'm beat, I had it. You see, Alcohol Anonymous has this quality. Our church and our friendships too often miss it. We are Christians, followers of Christ, yet we become more severe, more condemning, more judgmental, more guilt-giving on people face on the face of the earth. And we claim it's in the name of Jesus Christ. And all the while, we don't even know what we're doing. That's the pathetic part about it. But I'm saying to you today, if you're looking for a real friend and you have not yet met Jesus, I tell you, he's a real friend. He'll look beyond your faults and see your needs. He'll throw your bad memories and crippling guilt into the sea of forgetfulness. He's already died and paid the price that those who commit themselves, that they would receive life and have it abundantly. Jesus is a real friend. I highly recommend him to you. More than a friend, he's a savior. You see, he doesn't judge us. He loves us. So much so that he asked another friend of his called God the Holy Spirit. He said, go down there and be with my brothers and my sisters. I could imagine Jesus was saying to the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to go down there and see my friends. You see, they're going to need a friend who's willing to help them succeed. You see, I know that they're going to need a friend who's supportive. Someone to pick them up when they've fallen down under the pressures of life. I know, Jesus said, I can hear him saying, Holy Spirit, they're going to need a friend to huddle with them. Help them stay warm in the bitter cold times of life. They're going to need a friend to stand with them, to fight with them, support them and protect them. Please go down there and see about my friends. You see, I love them. The Father loved them. And I know you love them too. So I say today, are you a real friend? Are you got the attributes of a real friend? Are you helping somebody along the way? Are you taking somebody by the hand and say, I got your back. No matter what you're going through, I'm there for you. I'll put my stuff to the side because you see what goes around comes around. You be there for somebody today and somebody will be there for you tomorrow. Are you a real friend? Ask yourself, am I so busy looking at myself that I don't want to be inconvenienced? That I'm so busy looking at what's going on in my life that I can't see that you're falling down over here and I don't even lend a helping hand? Am I so busy praying for myself that I can't even remember your name? Are you a real friend today? If there's someone here today who needs a real friend, this is your time to come. I know somebody who's a real friend. I know somebody because sometimes in the midnight hour when there's nobody to talk to, I don't want to bother my real friends. I can go to the master with my prayer. I can go to the master and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thy withdraw thyself from thee, where shall I go? He's a real friend. He hears you when you're crying. He laughs with you when you're happy. He cries with you when you're sad. He'll be there when you're lonely and disappointed. The Lord will be your friend.